You are now listening to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. I'm here with Peter Raber, Brian Brummett. This is Josh Shores, and it looks like our battery is about to die.
Yeah, let's get the...
Hey, everybody, we're back. We got batteries. Public service announcement. Before you start any program or any just anything in general in life, double check that your batteries are good.
Save your work.
Yep.
Save your work. Make sure your batteries are good, but that's okay.
At least we didn't do the whole podcast with it off.
That's right. True. Now, have you ever done that before, Josh?
I have not done a podcast like that, but I have done a video like that
there
before.
There you go.
But in my defense, the guest speaker was a little, Brian, help me out here.
Critical of anybody willing to interrupt him.
Yes. So he turned the mic off on accident, and I just let it ride because I wasn't going to have a former Marine belittle me in front of a bunch of other people. Peter's over there like, what is happening now?
It was not me. That's all that
matters.
What did
they get into?
Yeah, what are these dudes doing? Well, yes, so I'm here with Brian and Peter, and Brian's recovering from a Dr. Pepper coma.
It happens.
You know, Dr. Pepper won an award, right? Did you know that?
I didn't know. What did they win the award?
Best soft drink ever.
It is really good. It's probably my go-to soft drink if I'm going to have a soft drink.
Absolutely.
I like Dr. Pepper.
But you're going to pick Mountain Dew.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Mountain Dew Kickstart.
Now, I like Mountain Dew also. I haven't had the kickstarts before.
I live on them.
Why is Mountain Dew getting so fancy? They're just, I mean, they've got all the different flavors and in the energy business now. And
I think you almost have to be. Like, if you've seen the energy drink aisles lately, it's more and more flavors. You're getting more and more collaborations with brands where, you know, you're trying to revitalize brands by making them connect to something that's current. And then, you know, it's all over the place. And, you know, you've got, what is it? Logan Paul's Prime is under investigation by the government. Yeah.
No, I hadn't heard this one. Yeah.
That's my son's favorite drink is Apparently, Prime. And we just bought two, like, 8-packs last night.
It's the
Prime.
The caffeine equivalent on some of them of like 2.5 coffees, and they're saying that's being marketed to kids, and
wasn't there used to be a soft drink that was similar to that, like Vault or Volt or?
So you've had a
Surge.
Couple of them.
Surge.
Yeah, there we go.
I loved Vault. Vault was before Mountain Dew Kickstart. Vault was my drink, but Surge was in there. There was another one.
Is Mellow Yellow? That's more of like a Mountain Dew, right?
That's Mellow kind of Yellow. Like Coke's Mountain Dew.
Yeah,
or their attempt at Mountain Dew.
Yeah, it's to Coke what Pepsi is to Coke. I mean,
right.
It sucks.
Yeah. No, it's true.
It's true.
I'd rather have Coke, but I would also rather have Mountain Dew.
Yep.
Or water, if that. Yeah.
Yeah, I am one of those people that if the waiter or waitress comes up to me and you know I'll say. Mm-hmm. Diet Coke, and they're like, we have Pepsi products. I'll be like, I'll have a water or Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
They're not the same, and I don't understand the people who think they're interchangeable.
Oh, that's the worst, too. I know exactly, because I'll always order a Coke.
Now, Sierra Mist and Sprite are similar.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah. I'll always order a Coke, and if they're like, oh, we have Pepsi. Is that okay? I'm just like, no.
Nope.
It's not
no, it's
okay.
Not.
But, it's like, I'll order a filet mignon. Is a hamburger okay? No.
No.
No. Is a tofu burger okay? No.
A what? A tofu burger?
A tofu burger.
Oh, I didn't know what you said.
A tofu burger.
The one plant-based meat thing I've really enjoyed was their jerky. I had some, I think it was Beyond Meat jerky.
Oh, God.
And it was actually good. Yeah, it was pretty good. The rest of it's not quite done it for me.
Let me guess, you got it at Aldi.
I think Peter gave it to me.
From Aldi.
Yeah, from Aldi.
It was good. Now, I will say I went down to Bucky's here recently. Finally made
it
there.
Did you go?
I did go.
When did you go? I had no idea.
We went to the Tennessee Smokies game. So we cut over there. This would have been 2 weekends ago.
Okay.
Don't get the hype. Big old gas station. A lot of branded things. Their drink section was like the size of your office. There was no drinks there. They did have a big coffee bar for people who were coffee, but I didn't get it.
I saw a bunch of signs there. Going to Knoxville the other day, a bunch of the Bucky signs, and my wife looks over and goes, who goes to this thing? And I was like, that's just proof you don't listen to our podcast.
Very good gas station.
Okay.
You know, good gas station, lots of pumps, whatnot, clean bathrooms.
But how far out of the way are you willing to go to a good gas station?
Not.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, I will say, it's not zero, because we've all passed that shady as all get out gas station, because you're like, I know the one with lights is on.
Yeah.
Like, well, right, I mean, up to the
self-preservation aside, you won't go too far.
Yeah, but I wouldn't make a trip.
Mm-mm.
That's kind of my, and it is, it's a destination. I mean, this thing has its own entrance with a traffic circle and all this, that, and the other. But I didn't get it.
What did you purchase?
Got some jerky. It was okay.
I got scolded by my child from the last episode when we talked about Bucky's nuts.
Yep.
That's not what they're called, evidently.
Beaver nuts.
No, they're, and crap, now I've already forgot. They're something nuggets.
Yeah, beaver nuggets.
Beaver nuggets?
Beaver nuggets.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's right, but
that makes it less appealing to me.
I told him, well, he listened to it. Because him going is kind of what sparked me to take a conversation that direction. And he was just like, what are Bucky's nuts?
Beaver nuggets. Like, they're giant corn pops. Corn pops.
Oh, okay.
The cereal. Yeah. They're just big versions of that. We had breakfast there the next morning after the game. I got like a brisket taco. I ordered a brisket taco thinking that it would be brisket and then some other. No, just brisket wrapped up in a flour tortilla.
You can add hot sauce if you want to.
Yeah, like it, but we just grabbed it to kind of go. So, yeah, that wasn't an option. It was okay. Like I said, I don't get the hype, but, you know, more the merrier.
Yeah.
People keep spending, keep our economy
going. I've not
going.
Been. I've not been. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Did you take a picture?
No.
You.
Oh, I sent you the picture. I sent you the picture of
right.
all
you
the salaries.
Did.
Now,
you
this
did.
I couldn't believe.
You did. I remember that now.
Outside of the gas station, you know, they posted the salaries for the hiring positions, and we're talking like 6-digit salaries for managers. It was much higher than what I was. So you could tell that, you know, they're paying for their employees, and I will say this, all the employees, even though mass amount of people dealing with probably everybody under the sun, everybody was super nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah clean, everybody nice. Mm. You can get kind of a little bit different stuff, but, you know,
it's still a gas station.
I go to Cracker Barrel for, you know, breakfast. I wouldn't go there and fight the crowd. Now, if I could walk in, just get what I wanted and leave, and maybe it'll get to that point, but
I'll give it to them, though. They've marketed really well.
Yeah.
I mean, we've spent 2 podcasts talking about a gas station. I mean, that's good marketing on their part.
Yeah, so here we go. So the cashiers, gift, maintenance, warehouse, and stockers are at $18 an hour. Restroom crew at $20. Food service and car wash, $21 an hour. Your team leads are at $23. Department managers, $33. Assistant food service managers, $42. And that's with no experience needed. Assistant general manager, $150,000. Car wash manager, $125,000. Food service manager, $175,000. General manager of a Bucky's offering up to 225% with 401k, 6% match, 3 weeks paid time off, healthcare.
You know, I've never wanted to be a car wash manager so bad.
Till this very moment.
I mean, you pay your people, you're going to get high-quality candidates. Absolutely. So.
Yeah. $125,000 for a car wash manager.
Yeah.
What would a car wash manager do?
They manage car washes.
Well, I'm assuming the car wash is automated.
I would guess so. You know, make sure people put it in neutral, make sure that that staff is running it right. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to need a letter of recommendation.
Tell you what, I wouldn't begrudge anybody.
Did you get turned down at the casino for last time you did this?
They did a background check.
But yeah, so they're paying their people.
Yeah, that's cool though.
That is awesome.
That's nice to hear, especially because a lot of times you don't hear those types of things. You hear about, you know, people being grossly underpaid. So
you don't hear Bucky's ever going out saying that no one's ever trying to get a job, huh?
Yeah.
You always hear these companies saying, no one's applying, no one wants a job. And you're like, well, you're not paying enough.
Right. They've
you pay enough, people will apply.
And they had, I will say, they probably had, while we were there, we got there, you know, 9:30 in the morning, something like that. They had to have had 20 people.
Oh, wow.
You know, at least probably 12 cashiers and then the food people. And then, yeah, so maybe even more. So they're putting a lot of money into it. Now, they were doing business. Like, people who like it, you know, they're paying for it, and so I guess they can afford to do that. But it's a much bigger operation than I gave it credit for.
Well, I think
I just don't need to go back.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be said with some of these companies, because Bucky's, and you think of other places that are very popular, very, very successful, great staff, great service. You think of, you know, like your Chick-fil-A's and
Powell's. Yeah.
And they're clearly doing something correct.
Yep.
Because usually all the employees are incredibly happy with the work environment. They're happy with their compensation. They're polite to people. I mean, it's...
They're well-trained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're well-trained. It's...
Well-trained's a big part of it, too.
Yeah. Big Powell's news, though, too. Neyland Stadium.
I thought that was fake.
No, I thought, is it not real?
I think that's fake now.
Okay. Oh, I'm so sad. I've had that in my...
And I'm the one, I sent that to you.
They sent it to me.
It
would make sense for them to go into Neyland.
Guys,
so
y'all really
that.
Need to start texting me. I'm feeling out of the loop now.
Were you not in that? Were you not
I'm
in
joking.
That one?
Mm.
It's
No, I... Okay, for people who don't know what we're talking about, I had seen... Someone on Facebook.
I'd seen it too somewhere before you sent it to me.
Had posted about Powell's being entered, you know, into Neyland Stadium. They're going to have two locations for this upcoming football season. I'm thinking, wow, that's awesome. And here's the other thing, Brian, that tricked me about it, because a few weeks ago, we had the president of Powell's at Kiwanis.
Right. Yeah.
And he was talking about how they're trying to penetrate the Knoxville market, but they haven't been able to find the correct approach yet.
Right.
Remember him talking about
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
So when I saw this post on Facebook, then I remembered him speaking about that, and I was like, oh, my God, this is it. This is how they're going to do it. Yeah, I think that was fake news.
You know what
I'm
is
so
impressive
sad.
About
my bad.
Them, though?
That's my bad.
That we learned while the president was talking about it was their succession plan was amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
They apparently start training the replacement for the president or CEO and everything.
Talking about Powell's.
Yeah.
20 years ahead of time.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they run a, you know, better business school. They're the only non-Fortune 500 company to win the Malcolm Baldrige Award or something like restaurant service.
Well, they have, what is it? They hold the record, and I might be close to holding the record or something, of the most profitable per square foot.
Oh, no, they do hold the record, yeah.
Like, the national one for, like, the big companies is Chick-fil-A, but they're beating them pretty handedly.
Well, but it's easy because their you know, footprint so small. It's drive-through based. It's very quick. You don't need a lot of real estate to, you know, get things churned out.
I will say, if they just gave it a little bit more real estate, though, we could have cheddar rounds all day.
All day, yes.
That's true.
But they have to convert them to the fryers. So
I will say he was prepared for that question when it was asked.
I'm sure he gets that every
all the time.
Week. Every
Which,
week.
would lead you to say,
if everybody's wanting it all the time,
figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
But they're amazing.
Their chitterounds are really good. That's the part of their breakfast I enjoy.
Yeah.
My experience with Pals changed once someone told me that their entire menu is available at breakfast, and you can get like a toasted cheese and put country ham on it.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm dead serious. It's amazing.
So tomorrow morning, I will let you know how
this is. Get a toasted cheese. I do a toasted cheese plain, add country ham. And
that sounds great.
It's now my favorite
breakfast. Brian, get like four or five of those.
Well, I like their country ham biscuits pretty good, and I love their grilled cheese. So
listen, their biscuits are not good, period. There's
you have to get extra country ham just to...
No, it's just it don't matter. Their biscuits are terrible.
They're kind of dry.
They're just...
But the rest of it's amazing.
I had had this conversation with someone. I love the cheddar rounds, but I'm not a big fan of the rest of their breakfast.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, you don't have to order their breakfast. Just order... Yeah.
Toasted well, I learned cheese. What I need to. We done here.
Just Google the secret menu on the website.
Right.
Had no idea.
Well, you figure they only have so many meats and so many types of bread, and they're like, you can do whatever you want with that.
Exactly.
Yeah, combinations endless. Well, it's not endless.
It's pretty finite.
It's a edit
small
this
menu.
Out. Edit this out. Okay.
Sorry.
We haven't had to do that much.
Okay, but we got to hang out with Daryl Strawberry.
We did.
I'm not one to name drop on this show. I never do that. I would never name drop.
That's a pretty big name.
That's a pretty big name.
That was really good through the
Kingsport
X-Men.
It's not Dolly
X-Men.
Parton, but it's Daryl Strawberry. It's pretty close.
Gotta work
right?
your way up, right? Start.
It was a really good program. It really was. We were able to get a table over at the Appalachian League All-Star Banquet.
Yeah, the luncheon.
Luncheon.
Yeah, the luncheon.
And Daryl gave a not what I was expecting, but a very good program.
Yeah.
After they introduced him, I didn't realize this. He's a evangelical preacher.
Right.
So he
I didn't know that either.
260, 270 some odd days a year he's out preaching.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
We got like a 45-minute sermon. I was expecting 45 minutes of Dwight Gooden did this, and you know, when I was on the Yankees, I did this. Very, very small part of his speech. But it was still really cool. Got to meet him, got him to sign some stuff. It was fun.
Yeah, he was able to share a little bit from the baseball side of things, which I thought was kind of neat. I also thought it was really interesting to hear his opinion and take on a couple of players when he said that in his opinion, he thought that Barry Bonds was like the best player
of all time.
Yeah.
Now he did say, now if I'm on the field, I'm the best player of all time.
Right.
He was completely humble about, no, like he had to have mentioned four or five times, like, look, basically I was on the wrong path of life. And he got introduced to it. I think his first road trip, he was on the plane, and some veteran player was like, hey, let's go to the back of the plane and get into this lifestyle. But then he was like, and I still was an 8-time All-Star, 4-time World Series champion, Rookie of the Year, Home Run Derby champion.
Well, you know, throw it out there if you have it.
It was like, I always got the impression that there was a little undertone. It was like, and that's while I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. Can you imagine
how
good it would be?
Yeah.
But yeah, he said Barry was the best.
Yeah. So that was cool. And he told, you know, several other stories, but I kind of thought that there would be a tad more of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, because the players were there, the All-Star players were there, and it was neat because I felt like they were pretty engaged with him.
And he stayed for all of them. Anybody
did.
Who wanted
to.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah. He did it the right way. So that was fun. That was neat to be a part of that. We got to invite some of our friends to come and
the reason why he came out. I guess we should mention for anybody who's not as big of a baseball nut, that's where he got his career start, was here in Kingsport. So right out of California high school, his first stop was the Kingsport Mets in 1980, and he had never looked back. You know, he just took off from there, and I think he had said this was his first time back maybe into Kingsport.
Yeah,
it'd
been
so, you know, it was really great for him to come back. He got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
That was cool. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, was it the Appy League?
The Appy League Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry, Brian.
Oh, no, it's fun to listen to. you just don't want to hear me say
anything. So when we were up there talking to Daryl, we asked him what he thought about modern portfolio theory.
And he said, my portfolio is big enough I don't have to worry about it.
And I told him, I was like, you need to call Brian Brummett.
No, but it was good. It was a good event.
It was. What else have we been doing?
Well, it came on the tail end of our client appreciation night.
That's it.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. Speaking
Which
of
was
baseball.
A great event. Yeah. We thrilled everybody who came out, and it was a fun night.
It was. We had a lot of people come and enjoy the game, and, you know, it was a hot day. The Axemen didn't do so well, but...
Hadn't been their season.
You know, we had our two engraved bats that were signed by the team that we got to give away, and that was neat to do something like that, and people seemed really excited about that. There were a lot of people who signed up and registered to win. So
did you hit 90 miles an hour throwing the first pitch, Peter?
So it was rushed, and I didn't get a chance to warm up, and it was not my best. I will say that.
But he's still an all-time world champion.
Josh surprised me with and a junk ball pitcher from Emory and Henry, so that was good. No, but literally, like, they were like, hey, let's go to the first pitch. And I thought we were going to go and, like, throw a little bit beforehand.
Listen.
Nope, so it was literally the first thing I had thrown all day. It was over the plate, just bounced once after the plate.
There you go.
I was, in his defense, it did happen extremely fast because I was on the field, too, ready to, because I was going to video it and everything.
Yeah.
And it was literally, like, I blinked. They were halfway through his little announcement that I jotted down, and it was like, go. And I couldn't even get my camera up and ready in
one
time.
One of my friends got a picture of it with the actual ball in the air.
Yeah,
I think
that
I sent you
that
one.
That was the best part of it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it was only
so that was the good picture.
It was only in the air for like a second.
Hey, some hitter would have swung at it. I made my career off throwing balls in the dirt.
So your friend must be a professional photographer if they could capture that small.
No, it was good. But it was very quick. And there wasn't like, All right, now, guys, as soon as they finish this, we're going to walk you out to the field. Like, they just started playing the announcement. I was like, I guess I walk out there.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that's, that was it. Yeah. Now, Stephanie had the advantage of going second. Hernandez from the chamber. And she also bounced it, so I was pleased about that. So I didn't get shown up. And the umpire comes up to me. It was like, I was really hoping she was going to be better than you so that I could make fun of you.
I think she makes it like a point to not win at these things to make us feel bad, because Josh and I beat her pretty bad at axe throwing the other day.
This was a close call. This was a like photo finish.
It was close.
I slightly embarrassed by my performance, but it is what it is.
It was close, but yeah, we were excited to get to do that with the Axemen and be able to have kind of a celebration of sorts with clients and also with the ambassadors from the chamber. I forgot that we had quite a few of them out that night, so
appreciate their support.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
We competed against boys to men, so I thought we did pretty well considering.
That's true, man. Yeah. Fun Fest is hard to compete against.
Yeah,
and it really is. I till the day I die will never understand why people suffer through Fun Fest. It's just hot, man.
What's like a
so
week
hot.
Long? Too.
Yeah, it's so hot. And
I went to the Avett Brothers concert a few years ago. They did. That was a pretty good one,
man. We don't get shows like that anymore. How do we go from the Avett Brothers to Boys to Men?
You could argue that Boys to Men have sold significantly more.
That's
than
That's true, but it's just the quality of me. It's just, what are we doing?
To the end
Come
of
on,
the road, man.
Kingsport, this is going to be the end of the road if we don't step it up a little bit.
FunFest traditionally gets people to start their career and to end of their career.
There you go.
You know,
we
got NSYNC on the way up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got Brad Paisley on the way up.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Charlie Daniels for like 17 years in a row. And then
that was an aberration, though. That's different.
He signed a lifetime contract.
Yeah. We had Huey Lewis in the news, and I missed that one. I wanted to go see that one.
Was that last year?
Two years ago, something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
last year they had they had Leonard Skinner.
That was it.
Yep.
Like two of them that are left.
I was going to say, like, after you change all the members, is it even still the same band anymore?
No, there's like maybe three left, and then all the other dudes are usually some 25-year-old stage musician filling in, but whatever.
It works.
You're still doing it. Man, we are 24 minutes into this.
We are all over the
place. So that was a great intro for what we wanted to talk
about. And really, all we wanted to do was talk about artificial intelligence again.
I think we've got some relevant, though, like, it's starting to hit home, I think, for a lot of people.
Well, so this started with Brian and I kind of trying to figure out what we want to talk about, and he brought up a really interesting point, I think, because all of the other times we've approached the subject of artificial intelligence from a job standpoint, it's been about, you know, kind of the lower end of the spectrum losing their core jobs. But it's looking like, and Brian, you can talk about this, but it seems like there's a lot of statistics showing that it could start from the top.
Well, even if it's not starting from the top, this one seems to be impacting the more white collar, higher earning people more so maybe than everybody else. We were looking at the top 10 industries that are going to be hit by it the most, and I think we're in six of them.
Yeah, we're batting about 60% on one.
Customer service is a pretty big one, of course, but there's also any of the financial stuff, the tech, traders, law firms,
marketing,
banks, even down to the graphic designs and computer programming.
Yeah.
Well, you got to think too. Almost everything that you just talked about has a form of itself that is data driven.
Right.
So it makes sense.
And you know, that's what Josh and I were talking about. It the next step is for it to be controlling something and replacing other types of jobs. But right now it's essentially a brain that has access to a ton of information.
It's coming. And you know, my angle on this one, when we started talking about it, the first thing that popped in my head, it's a big component of like the writer's strike in Hollywood right now. And I think things got even scarier for them here recently because there was a company, and it's called like Simulation AI something or other. But they had a computer watch, and they used this as an example, but they had it watch every single episode of South Park. And then they took still images of all the characters, every location, all of it. It's like 1,200 characters. Fed it all into this AI. The AI shot out six episodes. For all intents and purposes, you can't tell were not done by Trey Smith and Matt Parker. Wow. And so, you know, especially in animation-based entertainment,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. AI is going to be able to do it without having to pay actors, without having to pay graphic designers, without having to pay...
And graphics are coming up to the point where they're almost indistinguishable from people anyway.
Well, and even so, voiceovers, they have
work.
The voice work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to change pitch. You can go in and like what they were doing with this one too is like they gave it a master level prompt of write an episode about whatever hilarious concept they could come up with. And then it did all the work around and then they could go in and tweak it. But that company has already announced they have six other cartoons. They've already used this to create that are originals.
Yeah.
So if you're a studio executive and you're like, okay, I could pay all these voice actors, I could pay all these, you know, directors and studio time and all this, that, and the other, or I could just have that computer run it for me. That's
what you're going to do.
Probably where a lot of that's going to come from. So that's one of the big parts of the writer's strike is, and we're starting to see it. Did anybody go see the new new Indiana Jones movie?
I haven't yet. So please don't ruin it.
Well, I will say in the first part,
like they did the fourth one.
I will say I thought it was a really good movie. If you're not expecting too much,
right?
But similar to like Star Wars, they used a de-aging process.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And
well, you have to because Harrison Ford's like 90 now.
Right. And there's functionally two halves of the new Indiana Jones movie. There's young Harrison and there's old Harrison, and if you didn't know any better, you could have made an entire young Harrison Ford Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, that's cool. I figured they would just got this
like
guy
you
that played
tell
the
a
young
little
Han
bit
Solo
at times, like, oh, that looks a little off or what when you do it for that long of a period of time. But, you know, you're sitting there going, okay, they have stock footage of all these actors and actresses that the studios own. You know.
Yeah.
Can they use that footage to have that actor be in a role that they would not have chosen themselves.
There was an entire episode of Black Mirror about that concept in this latest season.
And it's here. And we're at that point. So that's a big part of, you know, this AI taking away jobs. It's going to be in creative fields. It's going to be in all of these fields. And, you know, it's coming, I think, exponentially faster than people are expecting. Because it seems like we just started talking about this at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And it's already here where, I mean, if you could do like a 26-episode cartoon that costs you very little to make, you know.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? You know, you just, especially for something like, you know, these big content-rich companies. So you think the Disneys, the Warner Brothers, mm-hmm. the, you know, they own this content. And it's like, click. Okay, there's my next series.
And the fact that the technology's building on itself says that it has no intention of slowing down in the near future.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's coming, and it is going to take jobs. Now, the question is, those people do?
And will it create other jobs that help out? Or, you know, one of the big things is starting off with artificial intelligence, it's probably not going to come in and take a lot of our jobs quickly at the beginning, but the people who know how to use it may.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, it is something that people need to be aware of. And it's something, you know, from our perspective as investment advisors, identifying those companies that are using it properly, because they're going to be the ones that are, that's one of the reasons why you see, and this is not an endorsement of Microsoft, you know, but Microsoft and Google are the two that are kind of the leaders in the publicly traded space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's why there's a lot of money flowing into those stocks right now, because the expectation is that they will, like Google even came out and said, look, we're slow dripping this into the system, because if we just unleashed what we already can do, it would mess up things too quickly.
Pandelirium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to be interesting.
Well, everyone, just stay tuned into the Bullseye Podcast, as we are your lead source for artificial intelligence.
And bad intelligence.
And
some intelligence.
Some intelligence. Artificial or not.
Well, you can tell it's fresh on our brain. It's just, it's too interesting and mind-boggling not to talk about,
and
I guess. Yeah.
And we can't pretend like we can't talk about this all day, every day, anyway.
Yeah, it's fine. But, well, we can dive more into that later, maybe on our next episode, and maybe we had a couple more ideas, I think, that Brian and I had chatted about, so we can pick up on that stuff later. But for now, we're going to have to sign off, because we're going to run out of minutes here, and I don't want my batteries to go dead again.
Solid plan.
But we thank you for listening. And again, this is the Bullseye Podcast, brought to you by AFI Advisors. Go check out our website. Email us at connect@afiadvisors.com. If you want a koozie, if you want some swag, we have some new swag in. It's pretty cool. I don't know how much we're going to give away before our grand opening of the new building.
At some point.
TBD. But we appreciate you listening, and we hope everyone has a great day.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show, or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.